This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
The Single Mom Success Podcast, Episode 44. For the first time in my adult lifetime and my history of voting, I actually cried at the results of this election.
This is the Single Mom Success Podcast, where we cover all the glorious mess that is life as a single parent and how you can navigate through to become the best version of yourself and how to live the life you desire. Do you want to get weekly email reminders of your awesomeness? Head on over to thesinglemomblog.com to sign up today. Now, let's get started.
Hey guys, welcome to today's Single Mom Success Podcast. So today's podcast is going to be potentially a little emotional for me. I'm recording this the day after the presidential election. And as many of you guys know, and my listeners know, I was basically a supporter of anyone who was going to beat Donald Trump. I did not want Donald Trump elected president of our country. I didn't think that he would be well suited for the job. I thought that it would be devastating for our country. And sadly and horrifyingly, I watched last night as he was in fact elected to be our next president. And I gotta admit, I am still processing this. I still feel very raw. It's kind of crazy. I never have really been this emotionally invested into a political race. So I really liked President Obama. I voted for him both times, and Lord, if I could do it for a third, I would. I love President Obama. I think he's fantastic. Now, you know, as is with all politicians, you've got a portion of the country that doesn't like them and thinks they're doing a horrible job and thinks that they're crooked or whatever. And then you've got the other half that really like them and can do nothing but praise them, right? That's sort of how politics always has worked, or at least for the better part of my lifetime and most lifetimes prior. So, but this, you know, but last year, you know, and I really did not like Romney. Last election, I did not like Romney. I just thought he was, he wasn't aligned with my values, and I thought that he was a rich guy who really had no clue what it was like to be middle class or what the middle or lower class struggled with. I still believe that of Donald Trump, because it's true. He's been rich all his life, and he doesn't know what it means to struggle. And not have anything and not know where your, you know, next paycheck is going to come from and not know if you're going to be able to make the rent and not know if you'll have a place to live tomorrow. Like, he hasn't ever struggled with that. So I didn't like Romney for that reason, but I wouldn't have been devastated if he had won. I would have just been annoyed, right? For the first time in my adult lifetime and my history of voting, I actually cried at the results of this election. And I did so because of the divisive and hate-filled and bigoted and misogynistic campaign that Trump ran. The way I saw him encourage and rile up and prop up and I don't have the right word for it. There's a word, and I can't think of it. It's on the tip of my tongue. Sort of just incite the worst in some of his followers. Now, here's the thing. I know that there are avid Hillary supporters who are, they're very angry people, and they, you know, so I know that there are always radical fans of each side, right? I know that not all Trump supporters are racist. I know that not all Trump supporters are bigoted. I know that not all Trump supporters are misogynists. But unfortunately, there is a very large group of individuals in this country who are racist, and they also happened to really like Trump. And that simple fact in itself was very scary to me, because Donald Trump has been touting things that they agree with, that they like. He has gone to the point of saying, I'm going to build a wall to keep Mexicans out. I am going to deport all Mexicans who were not born here legally. I'm going to split up families. I'm going to ban Muslims, right? Like, those are the things that scare me, because it is so against everything that I believe is sort of the core principles of our country. And I really do get, I am adamantly against Trump, and I have been, and I have to say, I have this like blanket of dread and worry and fear, because if he runs his presidency the way he ran his campaign, our country is in some serious trouble. Because our president can't, you know, it's one thing to have the president there and have people not like him because of his policy, or, you know, and unfortunately there are people in this country who didn't like him simply because he was black, period, right? There are some people who didn't like him simply because he was a Democrat, right? Period, right? They were determined to not agree with anything that he said simply because he had that little D next to his name, right? So there's always that. But the problem that I have, you know, so it's one thing to run your presidency and try and do a good job and try and be inclusive and try and be a good president, and do your best to try and bring the country together and still have people not like you. Okay, that's one thing. It is quite another to run a presidency and have it be, you know, these type of people are wrong, these type of people are bad. You know, we should be kicking out all of these people. We should, you know, make laws based specifically on a certain type of religion or ideology, or, and the fear that I have with that is, I mean, if you want to put a kind of a fine point on it, is Nazi Germany. To be perfectly honest, here was a very charismatic person who was never really big into politics. He got out there and he had a voice. And he spoke to the disenfranchised and the disillusioned and the unhappy. And he gave them a villain. He gave them somebody to blame for everything that was wrong. Somebody to hate. He gave them a specific target for their anger and their frustration and their rage. Somebody to blame. Somebody to hate. And in doing so, caused one of the worst ever things in history. The Holocaust was horrifying. The rule of Hitler in Germany was horrifying. In history, we look back on that and we understand it, but it started simply with a man who started giving those disenfranchised people a voice, and then he gave them somebody to hate. And that's my fear. Now, but that's if he runs his presidency the way he ran his candidacy. And it worries me. It upsets me that this morning I told my daughter that Trump had won the election. And she cried because she has friends in her school who are Muslim, and she has friends in her school who are Hispanic, and friends that, you know, they feel that if Donald Trump follows through with what he says, they're going to be forced to leave the country. And it's a country that they love and they live in, and this is their home. But they're Muslim. Right? So it is scary, and it's worrisome to me because his campaign was so divisive and it was so anger-fueled, right? And my fear is that it will get worse as opposed to better. My hope is that it won't. I've sort of moved, you know, past the, you know, the upset and the crying, and I mean, literally, I was nauseous last night. Nauseous. I almost threw up when I found out that Trump won, because I just couldn't believe this was my country, you know? I couldn't believe that we had elected this person who blatantly stood against everything that I believed in. Like, not, and here's the thing, even Romney, even Bush, some of the stuff that they talked about, I could agree with. I could get behind. I could understand. There was always sort of a middle ground for me with those people. You know, I didn't necessarily like them, but I knew that there was a middle ground. With Trump, I don't feel that there's a middle ground. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it come from him. You know, I have all these people who say, oh, no, he'll do this and he'll do that and he'll do this. And I get that. I get that you believe in your candidate. I get that you believe in what he stands for. But I haven't seen it from him. And that's what worries me. It's all well and good for everybody else to tell me, oh no, he'll be fine, he'll do this, he'll do that, this is all he wants to do, he's not going to do this. But that's not what he said. Those aren't the words that came out of his mouth. And that's moving past and not even going into the fact that, you know, because of this man, I had to explain what Trump meant when everyone was talking about how he talked about how he grabbed women by the hoo-ha, right? I had to explain that to my daughter. And here I have having to show and talk to my daughter about a man who said something like that, who blatantly bragged about assaulting women. And I don't care that it was several years ago, because if, I mean, it's not like he was 15 or 20 or even 30. The man was old enough to know better, right? He's a grown man. And so if that's his mentality at this point in his life, odds are it's still his mentality. He just happened to get caught saying it. That's another big issue I have with him. But I'm sitting here having to explain to my daughter how a man who did something and admitted to doing something to a woman that I have specifically said to her, if anybody ever does anything like that to you, it's not okay, right? We've had the not touching and personal space and private area conversations. But now a man who openly admitted to doing stuff like that and who was charged by several women for assaulting them is now president, the man she's supposed to respect. How do I do that? How do I, you know, after having to have the conversation with my sons about, see this right here? This is what you don't do. You do not disrespect women in that fashion. You never disrespect women in that fashion. You wouldn't want somebody that you don't know or that you don't approve of coming up and grabbing your junk, right? Like, you don't do that to people. Anybody. It's not acceptable. It's if unwelcome touching, unacceptable. Period. And as a man, you know, my boys are 16, and as men, as you grow up, you damn well expect, you damn well respect those boundaries. So help me God, if I find out different, you will have me to contend with too, right? And the funny thing is I posted this on my Facebook page. I said, you know, I'll be damned if my boys think that it's okay to talk like that. I refuse. And I had people tell me, well, you better get used to it because they're gonna, you're deluding yourself if you think you're boy. You know what? I choose to hold my children to a higher standard. I want to believe that. I want to believe that I'm raising people who know better than to speak like that, who know to treat people better, who know to respect other individuals like that. And So, yeah, you know, it amazes me that people think that that's a valid comeback. Oh, you better get used to it, because when they get older, that's exactly how they're going to talk. Really? Like, have we gotten that bad as a society? Like, that's what's expected? That we expect our children to grow up and be filthy-mouthed, like, perverted, sexual predator, stalker-type people? Like, what is that what we expect? That's what the norm is now? Because it's astonishing to me. Really. Because decades ago, had someone said that that was okay to say, I can't imagine them being okay with it. You know, so... And let's not even talk... I mean, let's... even the fact, the glaring hypocrisy that if President Obama had said or done any of the things that Trump has said and done, he wouldn't have gotten within 10 feet of the Oval Office. Like, he would never have been elected. They would have crucified him. And I guess that's how our country has become, right? Like, we're so divided, and it is very scary to me. And a Trump presidency... I gotta admit, like I said, I'm trying really hard to move past the fear and the general upset, but there's sort of like this sort of like blanket of dread and fear sort of hovering over me right now. I'm trying really hard to be optimistic and be hopeful that all of the people who are saying, just watch, he'll calm down, he won't really do any of the things he said he's done. Because here's the thing, you got Trump as president, a Republican Congress, like a Republican Senate, a Republican House, and more than likely a Republican-leaning Supreme Court. And so there is nothing to stop, you know, potentially any harmful acts that they want to try and push through or any laws. You know, the fact that they're already talking about repealing Obamacare but have nothing in place that I can tell to replace it. So in a couple months, it's very possible that my children will go back to having no health insurance, which is not better. It's not better. So, I have a problem with that, and that worries me. They're talking about repealing Roe v. Wade. Not okay with that either. They are talking about repealing the discrimination, the LGBTQ, I always stumble over that, anti-discrimination. That's not okay with me either. If Mike Pence has his way, he would probably repeal the order where, same-sex marriage was okay. I'm afraid that all of the progress that has been made to a more equal sort of an equal society, all of the forward progress that we have made will be ruined. I am deathly afraid of it. And I think that it's horrifying that we've reached this point. And that's what scares me. Not to mention that unless he can show me that his temperament is improved, I mean, his election campaign was just fraught with horrible horrible tweets. I mean, to the point where his staff took away his Twitter account. It's horrifying to me that it's almost like he... My daughter has more self-control, I think, than this man does. So that scares me. I'm worried about Donald Trump flying off the handle and sticking his foot in it. And the next thing you know, we've got people on our shores declaring war, trying to bomb us. I mean, I don't want our country to become a war zone. And I am deathly afraid that, you know, this may be something that my children experience in their lifetime. And it worries me. It really does. So, you know, I've spent the last few hours going through kind of the, don't know, the stages of grief, right? Like, denial, anger. What are all of them? I can't remember all of them. It's like denial, anger, bargaining, acceptance, right? Like, I'm working through a lot of them right now. I don't even know the order of them, and I'm fairly certain I'm missing several. But that's kind of how it feels. I feel like I'm working through the stages of grief. I'm grieving for my country right now. You know, while others are celebrating. And I understand that. Everybody's views are different. But this is where it's super hard. And it's really hard for me because I see such a massive pushback on all of the things that are really important to me and that I hold dear, while others are pushing all of the things that are important to them and they hold dear. And I don't know if we are going to be able to come to a common ground. I mean, right now there's a lot of people who are angry. So the majority, and here's the thing, Clinton actually won the popular vote. I think it's getting to the point where everybody's sort of tired of the Electoral College, right? Like, it drives people crazy every election cycle. Every election cycle, somebody's pissed off about the Electoral College, right? Because whoever had the popular vote didn't win the Electoral College, right? Anytime that happens, people get all sorts of pissy. Clinton won the popular vote. She won it. She had more people voting for her in total than Donald Trump did. But she lost the election because of the electoral votes, right? That's the crappy part. But I know that in the past there have been elections where that has actually helped a Democrat get in office. So, you know, praise it one year, curse it the next, right? That's kind of how it works. But I think overall, in the long run, everybody's kind of sick of it, and it makes everything sucky, right? Like, it's just sucky. We just sit there and we watch and we wait for the states to turn colors, and it's all about... I would like to know just who gets the most votes across the entire country. Once everything is said and done, who got the most votes across the entire country? The entire population spoke out, and this is who they want, right? Has nothing to do with what state they live in, what county they live in, what district they live in. Just who did you vote for? And whoever gets most wins, right? The Electoral College is crazy stupid. Like, I know there's a purpose for it. I understand, but drives me crazy. You know, half the country, it's kind of crazy. It's this immediate flip. There's not even a middle ground, it doesn't seem, or there's a very small middle ground of, you know, the supporters who voted for Trump and the people who voted for Clinton. So this huge population of disenfranchised people, people who are angry with the system, angry with government, angry with everything. They're just tired of the status quo, and they just basically wanted to rip it up and burn it all down and have somebody in there that was not a politician, right? Like, that's the whole premise, right? Or they voted for him because, you know, he's a white guy and he was talking about get rid of all the, you know, non-white people. And, you know, people can, I'll probably get complaints about that, and I really don't care, because if you want to really, you personally listening to this may not be a person who cares about people of color, but you cannot be so blind to the fact that a majority of racists and people who believe in white supremacy voted for Trump. You can't deny that. You can't wish it away. It's there, and you need to accept and embrace it, because those are the people that helped your guy get elected. So you need to kind of have your little come to Jesus meeting about that. I do see, you know, and that's the first thing. Everybody's like, oh, I voted for Trump and I'm not a racist. Well, you know, maybe you're not. It's all well and good to say I'm not a racist. You may be, even if you say you are, aren't. But just because you aren't doesn't mean that the five other people in line with you when you voted for Trump that voted for Trump, maybe they were, right? Maybe they were. But anyway, as I'm processing through all of this, you know, my stages of grief, trying really hard to come into the acceptance part, and I'm getting there, but it's definitely hard. And again, it's not even because of the fact that Hillary is so awesome to me, right? That's not even what it is. It's that he seemed so awful. That's what it was. My vote was cast for Hillary, not because I thought she was the greatest, but because she did align with my values. The message that she had was one that I agreed with. I did think that she would do a good job. And I wanted to do whatever needed to be done to try and stop Trump from being elected. That was the biggest part of my vote. But it's difficult for me. And as a mom, you know, now I'm at the part where, okay, what do I tell my kids? What do I do? Because they've watched this man, they've seen him, they've seen his words, and without even knowing necessarily my thoughts, the first things that they said when they heard him speak and the things that he said and the things that he did was, you know, gosh, he's not really nice. Like, the things he's saying is not nice. I don't like that. You know, mom, I have friends who are Muslim. Does that mean he wants to get rid of them? Like, these are legitimate questions and concerns. Why is he being so mean to these people? Why does he want to build a wall? That's dumb, right? Like, these are things that my kids saw and asked me about and questioned and how they felt about this man, and they just saw the way he behaved. And, you know, to them it was like watching a schoolyard bully, right? That's how they felt. They're like, he's mean. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way what he says makes me feel, right? So now how do I help my kids as a mom? You know, that's where I'm at. How do I make them feel safe and still believe that everything will be okay? That, you know, because I don't feel like everything will be okay. Not yet. I hope that I do. I really do. But not yet. It's too soon. So how do I help my kids? How do I help my kids understand this? And I'm really struggling with this, I gotta admit. Because here I spend the majority of their lifetime, for as long as they've been old enough to understand, telling them to try and be good to people, be a good person, do good things, say nice things. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, right? That's the old adage that we're always told. Don't treat people differently because they look different than you. Don't talk to people differently or treat people badly because of their skin color or the religion that they believe in. I mean, and my kids know I'm not religious, but they also know that I don't care if other people are. I'm not out there telling people that they're wrong for believing what they believe. Have faith in what you want to have faith in. Hell, have faith in Donald Trump. I don't agree, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to tell you you're wrong. I mean, and I did struggle with that, I gotta admit. Politics brings out the worst in everybody, I think. Politics and religion, isn't that what they say? Don't ever talk politics and religion, because it brings out the worst in people, because people feel so strongly in the beliefs in those two platforms that it does bring out the ugly, right? So I'm guilty of doing that, right? Where I call people who believe in Trump, you know, I never called them deplorable. I don't think I did. I tried not to. I agreed that, you know, and this goes back to the, you know, group of people who are racist. I don't understand it. I never have. And I've said it before in posts. I don't understand the basic there's no unjustified hatred of someone you don't even know simply because they look different than you. Period. I've never understood it. You know, maybe it's fear, maybe it's ignorance, I don't know, but I don't get it. I have struggled with on Facebook and social media. I've had a really hard time. I'm very vocal about my dislike of Trump. And, you know, I tended to get into little quarrels with people who really loved Trump or really hated Hillary. And, you know, so we did that nice little back and forth banter. I tried really hard not to be that ugly person. It was more, I'm more of a smart ass. I'm really more of a smart ass. Sometimes I did it just to watch them get all riled up. Like, I posted it on my I took a picture. Somebody was upset with me, and I said something, and I was like, you know, I can't even remember what my comment was. And his response or retort to me was, whatever, bitch. And so my response back to him was, aw, who's a grumpy Trump supporter? So, yeah, you know, I had my moments where, you know, and we all do. I mean, that's the thing. We all do. We all would love to, you know, kind of stay on our high horse and live our ideals and always live up to our best version of ourselves. But everybody has that one thing, or maybe two or three things, that will cause them to sort of dive deep down into the, I know you are, but what am I phase of their brain or personality. And it's never good. It's never, you know, I always end up feeling like lately anymore, and that's the hard part, anymore when I'm on my social media, anymore when I'm, you know, talking to people or putting anything out there, I just have this sort of genuine all-over icky feeling. Like, I don't like it at all. It's not fun. I'm not enjoying it. And it's been this whole election. So, in part of my acceptance, I am profoundly glad that it's over. I'm not thrilled with the results, but I am so glad we're done. And that I don't have to deal with this for another couple of years. And my hope and my positive spin on this and what I'm trying to tell my children is, okay, I've had my panic mode, I've had my upset mode, I've had my, you know, oh my God, I'm hoping that we don't end up in a world war again mode, which is still there in the back of my head, I'm not gonna lie. Now it's the, we'll survive, we'll get through. Hopefully we won't go backwards. Hopefully we won't eliminate the progress that we've made. Hopefully we will come together and figure out a way to work together. You know, what kind of crazy world would it be? Like, wouldn't that just be kind of the karma, right? Okay, so imagine this. Trump decides to run. Everybody looks at it as a joke. Nobody takes it seriously. He ends up wiping out the bajillion other Republican candidates that they had. There was like a freaking stage full of them at one point, right? Wipes all of them out. And then becomes the nominee. Nobody saw that coming. Really, we just, nobody, we're like, seriously? Seriously? And so then we thought, okay, well then, you know, whoever ends up being the Democratic nominee is going to wipe the floor with him because it's Trump, right? Come on. He's a joke, right? Unfortunately, there was this, like I said, this massive group of people who are just done with politicians, done with government, done, and to be quite honest, there's a group of them that just want to kind of see it all burn, right? There's a sadistic bunch that just wants to see what happens. But he spoke to a large base, larger than anybody anticipated. So then we think, okay, God, he can't win the election. I mean, listen to this guy. Listen to how he speaks. Listen to the anger and the hatred and the vitriol that he is just at the top of his voice, you know? You see all of his, I mean, some of his supporters, and again, not all. There are many Trump supporters who are very intelligent, educated people who made the decision for whatever their reasons are. But there is that portion that are the, you know, frothing at the mouth, uneducated group of people who, you know, who always end up seem to be interviewed by the media, right? They're the ones that they, you know, and the, come on, as if you're listening and you're a Trump fan, you know, the people that got interviewed, you know, those weren't the best representation of your group, right? you know, you were looking at it, shaking your head going, oh my God, why they interview that fool? Why? Because, you know, because it made for good TV, right? I mean, this is sort of like this giant reality show. I feel like that's what our government and our country has become, and it kind of sickens me. But nobody expected it, right? Nobody expected it. And then nobody expected he'd win. Nobody expected he'd win. He was supposed to lose by a lot. You know, I mean, it was supposed to be kind of close, and it depended on what polls you looked at, but Hillary was, I mean, she was supposed to win. And then here comes this group of people, you know, and then on top of that, you got Russian hacking, and you've got emails, and you've got all this other BS, right? So it was like one big giant reality show. Donald Trump got in the race and turned it into a freaking shit show of a circus, right? And whether you like him or not, it's exactly what he did. Right? That's his base. That's, I mean, you can't deny that. It's not like he came, it wasn't Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's campaign wasn't like this. It was not. I mean, what the worst he had was what that 47% video, right? That was his big scandal, right? And it was just him talking to his people, right? Not Trump. There has been hate and division and bigotry and misogyny and sexual assaults and what he's being sued right now for racketeering, or he's being charged, right? He's got to go to court for racketeering in a couple of weeks, right? All this stuff is going on. It is a reality show. And that scares me that our democracy has become that. It's really, really scary. But what craziness would it be if in this weird ass twist, because it's all been like a reality show so far, if Donald Trump was like, all right, so now that I'm here, I actually don't think we should build a wall. I actually don't think that we should do this. I am not going to talk about repealing, you know, Roe v. Wade. I am not going to, like, what craziness would it be if this ended up being some sort of strange cosmic flip where, you know, I it's kind of like that. And I think that's where my fear from a Trump presidency comes from, is because I really, really hope he doesn't run his presidency like he did his candidacy. And I'm super afraid of what he's going to do, because in all honesty, I don't know. In all honesty, I'm so scared to find out. And, you know, if I was his supporter, I'd be kind of scared too, because it's not like he has a history of sticking to one principle or the other. He sort of flops, you know, he's for something, then he's against it. And then a couple of years later, he's for it again. He's a Democrat, then he's an independent, then he's a Republican. Like, it's, I don't know. But I am trying to hopefully, you know, encourage my children and tell them, look, okay, whatever happens, you know, it's still important to be a good person. You know, despite the fact that you watch somebody who's one of the biggest bullies I've ever seen in a political arena become the president, it's still not okay, right? You still need to, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, he spent his entire platform being divisive, and then in his acceptance speech said, okay, how can we come together? How can we mend the rift in our country? And I'm sitting here thinking, the rift that you helped make bigger, that rift, you know, that's like stabbing someone and then going, oh, here, let me stitch you up, right? Like, come on, dude, you stabbed me. Ugh. You know, it's really hard for a lot of us who did not support Trump to come around and go, oh, okay, we watched you be very angry and divisive and racially charged and offensive to large groups of minorities. We watched all of that, but now you want to be friends. Now you want to make nice. And it's really hard for us to swallow. It's really hard for us to buy. So he's got a lot of work cut out for him, I think, if he does truly intend to mend anything in this country and try and bring people together. He's got probably a harder job ahead of him than Obama did, because, see, people just didn't like Obama a lot. Okay, again, not all, but a group of them did not like Obama simply because he was black and simply because he was Democrat. They were never going to like him for those purposes. So he always had his work cut out in that arena. He was president and dealt with one of the biggest obstructionist Congresses that I have ever seen, ever. And it's sickening how they just sort of took over and said, we're not going to let anything happen, right? I'm sorry, but when you're Congress, and you can support Trump or Hillary, I mean, but either who you support, all of you have to be pissed that our Congress sat there and said, we're going to shut down government because we're not getting our way. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely disgraceful. You guys don't even work most of the year. And when you're working, you're not doing anything, right? So I think all of us can agree on that. So maybe that's our starting point to figure out how to get the damn Congress to actually work together. And, you know, maybe now they will, now that they're all Republican. Who knows? But I find it hard to believe that all Republicans will be gung-ho on Trump's policies, too. Because, you know, not only did he divide the country, but he split the Republican Party. I've never seen anything like it. It's been crazy. So, I don't know. I think that, you know, hold your babies tighter. Tell them it'll be okay. Continue to teach them that it's important to try your best. You may not always succeed. I don't always succeed. I know I don't. I'm human. We're all human. To be tolerant and understanding and loving and try and bring out the best in ourselves and each other. And I think that that's really all we can do, right? And continue to tell them to, you know, fight for what's important to them. Figure, you know, as they grow, they're going to develop their values. They're going to develop their sense of what's right and what's wrong. They're going to develop what's important to them and causes that mean things to them. And teach them to fight for those things. That's important. That's how change comes about. That's how things get done. That's how, you know, we save our planet. That's how we save each other. And it's really important. Fight for what you believe in. Do the work, put in the effort, you know, that's really important. And so I think that that's kind of my message for my kids, for my listeners. You know, if I still have any Trump supporters following me or listening, you know, I cannot guarantee that I will always agree. I've never always agreed with what Republicans do. I'm fairly liberal, like I said. But I will try my absolute best to, you know, continue to be respectful, and I will try my very best to continue to, you know, work with people and be understanding. You know, I think we're all on a mission all through our lives to continually strive to be better people, better individuals, better people, and it's a work in progress every single day. Every single day we're working on it. How to be a better person. How to be a better person. How can I be better than I was yesterday? How can I improve? And that's important. So, I typically try not to do too much on politics, but I felt that this one was important since it just happened, since the election just happened. So, that's today's podcast. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that if you are like me and you've felt this sort of looming weight or invisible, I've been calling it my invisible blanket of fear and dread. if that's still looming over you, hopefully maybe this helped lift it a little bit. Go out there, be good people, do good things. Love your children, love yourselves, love each other, even if it's hard. I mean, hey, yesterday I had an actual good, decent conversation with my ex and the stepmom. And so progress is everywhere and it is possible. Like, sit down, face-to-face conversation. It was good. Progress was made. Things got done. I will record another podcast about that or at least do a blog post. So keep an eye out on thesinglemomblog.com. But it can be done. We can do it, you know, and God, there is not, I don't think, a more divisive relationship than the one that I have with my ex. So if it is possible for two people to do it, it is possible for three people to do it, and 10 people to do it, and thousands of people to do it. It just takes work and patience and tolerance and understanding and a lot of patience. I know I said that already, but I'm going to say it again because it's important. and tolerance again because it's important, and love because it's important. Because we're all here, we're stuck together, and we gotta figure out a way to make it work. Because we can't just burn the place down, right? So, I hope you have a fantastic day. Enjoy it. Give your kids hugs. Love them. And remember that you are fan-frickin-tastic. And you can do amazing things. So, take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for joining me today for the Single Mom Success Podcast. Be sure to follow us on all our social media platforms. And if you haven't subscribed to our newsletter yet, head on over to thesinglemomblog.com to make sure you never miss out on our most recent posts and podcasts. Thanks again, and never forget, you rock.